Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going deep on how climate change is impacting public health and what communities can do about it. We've got a stack of research reports and case studies here.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. We'll look at how public libraries are playing a key role.
Oh, that's an interesting angle. Yeah.
In climate action and community resilience. Mm-hmm. It's surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. It's great to see that shift happening, moving away from just thinking about climate change as an environmental issue.
Right.
And really starting to see it as the public health crisis that it is.
Okay, so I get melting glaciers, you know, and rising sea levels.
Mm.
But how does climate change directly impact our health?
It's more widespread than you might think.
Okay.
Take heat waves, for instance. More frequent, more intense. It's not just heat stroke. We're talking about worsening existing conditions.
Oh, wow.
Heart disease, lung disease, real strain on healthcare system.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm.
And the reports we've got highlight the connection between things like wildfires. You know, the increase in pollen.
Yeah.
Making air quality worse.
For sure.
And not just for people with asthma.
Right. It affects everyone.
Yeah. Developmental issues in children, even heart attacks.
It's a major concern.
And it's not impacting everyone equally, is it?
No, not at all. Low-income communities, the communities of color, they often face the harshest consequences.
Right.
Raises a lot of questions about health equity, environmental justice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a public health crisis,
and
it disproportionately affects those who are already vulnerable.
Absolutely. A story that needs more attention, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. One of the reports we're looking at today lays out what they call the six key truths about climate change.
Hmm.
Can you break those down for us? How do they help us understand this complex issue?
These truths provide a really clear, concise framework. They cut through the misinformation.
Okay.
They resonate with diverse audiences and hopefully motivate action. The first truth, it's real.
Okay.
Now, that might seem obvious, but there are still people out there who are skeptical. So this truth addresses that head on.
Okay, so it's real. But what does that actually mean for us?
Well, that leads us to the second truth. It's us.
Okay.
Human activities are the primary driver of climate change.
Got it.
And this is crucial because it means we have the power to make a difference.
So if we're the problem, we can be the solution.
Exactly.
But is there really a scientific consensus on this?
That's where the third truth comes in. Experts agree.
Okay.
The vast majority of scientists agree that human-caused climate change is happening. This helps address the skepticism by emphasizing the weight of the scientific evidence.
Strength in numbers.
Exactly.
The more people understand that the science is settled, the less room there is for denial.
For sure.
But, you know, knowing that it's real and we're the cause doesn't exactly make it feel any less daunting.
No, it doesn't.
What's the next truth?
The fourth truth is a bit sobering. It's bad.
Okay.
We talked about the health impacts. But the research really shows just how severe the consequences are.
Right.
Extreme weather events, disruptions in food systems. It's a lot.
Yeah. Some of the findings were pretty alarming.
Yeah.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all the doom and gloom.
I understand.
Is there anything that offers us a bit of hope?
Absolutely.
No.
The fifth truth, others care.
Okay.
We often underestimate how concerned people are about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Correcting this misperception can be a powerful motivator.
Right.
Because it shows we're not alone in wanting change.
Yeah. It's like realizing you're part of a movement, a collective effort to make things better.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've covered the bad news and the fact that people are ready to act.
Mm-hmm.
What's the final truth that gives us some direction?
The sixth truth, there's hope. This truth focuses on the solutions.
Okay.
It emphasizes that our actions, both individual and collective, can make a real difference. It's about highlighting the agency we have to shape a better future.
So we've got our six truths.
Yeah.
A roadmap for understanding the problem and the potential for solutions.
Right.
But these are still big concepts.
Yeah.
How do we break this down and make it relatable for people who aren't climate experts?
Well, that's where the Six Americas framework comes in.
Okay.
It categorizes Americans into six groups based on their climate change beliefs.
Interesting.
Alarmed, concerned, cautious, disengaged, doubtful, and dismissive.
So it's like a personality test for how people view climate change.
Kind of.
How can we use this framework to tailor our communication make sure the message is resonating.
It helps us meet people where they are.
Okay.
For example, those in the alarmed group, they're already worried.
Right.
They want to know what actions they can take.
They want solutions.
Exactly, solutions.
Yeah.
Whereas those who are doubtful or dismissive might need more information about the science
right.
before they're willing to even consider solutions.
So it's about understanding their existing beliefs and tailoring the conversation accordingly.
Exactly.
Not just using a blanket statement for everyone. The reports also mention that framing climate change as a health issue can be really effective.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, for a few reasons. First, it makes climate change personal and relatable. Instead of distant polar bears,
yeah.
we're talking about our health, our kids' health, the health of our communities.
Okay.
That resonates more deeply with people.
Yeah, it becomes less about saving the planet.
Right.
And more about protecting ourselves and those we love.
Exactly.
But doesn't that also make it a more emotional issue?
It does tap into emotions.
Yeah.
But that can be a powerful tool for engagement.
Okay.
And secondly, framing it as a health issue can make it less politically polarizing.
Interesting.
Health is something we can all agree on.
Right.
Regardless of our political affiliations.
Yeah, for sure. Is there research that backs this up?
There is. For instance, there was a study that found that talking about the impact of air pollution on children's brains,
okay.
it actually led to increased support for clean energy.
Wow.
Even among those who weren't traditionally concerned about climate change.
That's incredible. It shows that finding the right angle can make a huge difference in how people perceive the issue.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got the message and we know how to target different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But who are the best messengers to deliver this information? Does it have to come from scientists or policymakers for people to take it seriously?
While scientists and policymakers definitely have an important role,
yeah.
research shows that people also trust information from sources closer to home,
okay.
like family and friends.
Right.
And one source points to a rather unexpected group that's gaining traction as climate action advocates, public libraries.
Public libraries. That's not what I would have expected.
Yeah.
What makes them such effective messengers when it comes to climate change?
Well, they have a couple of key advantages. Firstly, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're in every community.
Exactly. Deeply embedded in communities all over the country. And secondly, people trust them.
That's true.
They're seen as neutral, reliable sources of information.
More so than the media or politicians.
Yeah, often more so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Libraries have always been about providing access to information
right.
and supporting their communities. They're not pushing an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to help. Mm. But what are they actually doing to address climate change? Are they just handing out pamphlets?
It's far more than just pamphlets.
Okay.
They're becoming community hubs for climate action in some really innovative ways. For example, many libraries are leading by example.
Yeah.
They're incorporating sustainable building practices into their own facilities.
So they're walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly. Do you want some examples?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so there's a library in Krizny, Indiana.
Okay.
It was the first net zero energy library in the nation.
Wow.
It generates as much energy as it consumes.
That's amazing.
It uses solar panels, geothermal heating and cooling.
That's incredible.
And then you have the San Diego County Public Library System.
Okay.
They've made a commitment that all new construction projects will be net zero for both energy and water.
Wow. It seems like libraries are becoming mini power plants that also lend out books.
Pretty amazing.
But beyond the buildings themselves, how else are they engaging with their communities on climate change?
They're going beyond just promoting sustainability. They're hosting climate education programs and events.
Right.
They're providing resources on climate change and sustainability.
Right.
And even offering support during and after climate-related disasters.
So they're not just preaching sustainability, they're offering practical tools and knowledge to help people adapt and become more resilient.
Exactly. They're meeting people where they are, recognizing that not everyone understands or even cares about climate change.
Yeah.
But by starting with people's specific concerns and interests,
yeah.
they can connect those concerns to broader climate action efforts.
It's like that saying, think globally, act locally.
Yeah.
Libraries are providing that local context and support to translate those global concerns into tangible actions.
For sure. And they're also key players in what are called STEM learning ecosystems.
Okay. STEM learning ecosystems.
Yeah.
Can you explain what those are and how they fit into this bigger picture?
STEM learning ecosystems are collaborative networks, organizations like schools, museums, community groups, businesses.
Got it.
They all come together to promote STEM education and engagement.
Okay.
And you guessed it, public libraries are often central to these ecosystems.
So it's all about collaboration
mm-hmm.
and leveraging the strengths of different organizations
right.
to amplify their impact.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. But can you give us a concrete example of how this works in practice? What does a successful STEM learning ecosystem look like?
Sure. One great example is Remake Learning in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It's a STEM learning ecosystem that's been really successful, transforming their community through innovative programming and collaboration.
Okay.
One of their initiatives involved creating a network of play sites situated near libraries, offering kids access to fun, engaging STEM learning opportunities outside of school.
That's amazing, turning the whole city into a giant learning laboratory.
It's pretty cool.
It makes you wonder what other creative solutions are out there.
Yeah.
What untapped potential exists within our own communities?
It's an exciting thought.
And more importantly, what can we as individuals do with this information?
That's the key question.
Yeah.
This deep dive isn't just about passively absorbing information.
Right.
It's about empowering you to make a difference.
I like that.
So let's shift gears and explore that a bit further. Think about this. Could your local library be a resource for climate action? Could you be part of a STEM learning ecosystem that's tackling these challenges? We hope this episode has sparked your curiosity and given you some food for thought.
This is just the beginning. There's a whole world of knowledge and opportunity out there waiting to be explored. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to dive even deeper into this fascinating topic. We're back and ready to continue our deep dive into climate change and public health. Before the break, we were talking about the surprising role libraries are playing in climate action. But it's not just about libraries, is it? There's this idea of prevention that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
How does that fit into the bigger picture of climate change and public health?
Yeah, you've hit on a crucial point. Just like in public health, where we have strategies to prevent diseases before they occur.
Right.
Think vaccinations or healthy eating habits.
Yeah.
We can apply that same thinking to climate change.
So it's not just about reacting to the consequences of climate change after they happen. It's about proactively taking steps to mitigate the problem.
Precisely. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions. That's a form of primary prevention.
Okay.
When it comes to climate-related health impacts, we're addressing the root cause.
So things like transitioning to renewable energy sources.
Yes.
Promoting sustainable transportation. Improving energy efficiency. Those all fall under that umbrella of primary prevention.
Exactly. Strategies aimed at mitigating climate change and preventing future health problems. But of course, we can't ignore the fact that climate change is already happening. It's affecting people's health right now.
So what do we do about the impacts that are already being felt? Is there a way to address those from a public health perspective?
That's where secondary prevention comes in.
Okay.
It's about adapting to the changing climate and taking steps to minimize harm.
Okay.
Improving disaster preparedness.
Okay.
Developing early warning systems for heat waves, creating more resilient infrastructure.
So primary prevention is about addressing those root causes of climate change.
Yeah.
While secondary prevention is about dealing with the consequences that are already here.
Exactly.
But where do libraries fit into all of this? Are they involved in both primary and secondary prevention efforts?
Absolutely. Libraries are engaging in both by promoting sustainability, educating the public about climate change, and providing resources for adaptation and resilience. They're hitting both sides of the prevention coin.
It's fascinating how these institutions, often seen as quiet repositories of books, are becoming active players in addressing such a complex and pressing issue.
Mm.
Earlier, you mentioned the importance of trust in climate change communication.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so crucial, and how do libraries factor into that equation?
Trust is paramount. If people don't trust the messenger, they're less likely to accept the message, no matter how important it is. And this is where libraries really shine. We've talked about this. They're seen as neutral, nonpartisan sources of information.
Right. They're not trying to sell you something.
Exactly.
Or push a political agenda.
They're simply there to provide reliable information and support their communities.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
In today's world, where information is often filtered through the lenses of politics, advertising, social media algorithms, it's more important than ever to have those trusted sources we can turn to.
Right.
For accurate and unbiased information.
Absolutely. Libraries provide a space where people can access information without feeling like they're being manipulated or bombarded with biased content. They offer a sense of stability and reliability in an increasingly chaotic information landscape.
Yeah. It's almost like they're a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
A safe haven from the information overload we face every day.
Yeah.
That makes their role in climate change communication all the more vital.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just about information, is it? It's about action. How do we move from understanding the problem to actually doing something about it?
You're absolutely right. Knowledge without action is insufficient. Addressing climate change requires a collective effort.
Okay.
It's not something any one individual organization or even government can solve on their own.
So it's not about pointing fingers or waiting for someone else to fix it.
Right.
It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play, however big or small.
Exactly. And what's so encouraging is that the research highlights a groundswell of action happening at the community level. People are stepping up, taking initiative, and creating positive change in their own backyards.
It's like that famous Margaret Mead quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world." Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. It's inspiring to see that quote in action, especially in the face of such a daunting challenge.
Absolutely. And libraries are often at the heart of these community-driven efforts, providing support resources and a platform for these initiatives to flourish. They're helping to connect the dots between individual actions and collective impact.
Earlier, you mentioned the interconnectedness of everything. Can you elaborate on what you meant by that? How does this idea of interconnectedness relate to climate change and public health?
It's about recognizing that climate change doesn't exist in isolation.
Okay.
It's intertwined with a whole host of other issues.
Okay.
Social justice, economic inequality, access to education and healthcare. For example, the impacts of climate change are often felt most acutely by communities that are already marginalized or disadvantaged.
Right.
This makes addressing climate change not just an environmental issue, but a social justice issue as well.
So it's about understanding that climate action is about more than just reducing emissions or adapting to rising sea levels. It's about creating a more just and equitable society where everyone has the opportunity to thrive regardless of their background or circumstances.
Precisely. It's about addressing systemic issues and recognizing that climate change can exacerbate existing inequalities. It's about working towards a more resilient and equitable society for everyone.
That brings us to the concept of climate justice, which you touched on earlier.
Yeah.
Can you explain what climate justice means and how it plays out in real-world scenarios?
Climate justice acknowledges that those who are least responsible for causing climate change are often the ones who suffer the most from its impacts.
Right.
It's about ensuring that climate action efforts prioritize the needs of the most vulnerable and work towards a just and equitable transition to a sustainable future. It's about making sure that the benefits of climate solutions are shared equitably and no one is left behind.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about recognizing the uneven distribution of both the causes and the consequences of climate change.
Okay.
But how do we put these principles into action? How do we ensure that climate justice is integrated into our efforts to address this global challenge?
It starts with listening to the voices of those most affected by climate change.
Okay.
Understanding their lived experiences and incorporating their perspectives into decision-making processes. It's about ensuring that climate solutions are developed and implemented in a way that is fair, equitable, and benefits everyone, not just a select few.
It sounds like it's about shifting the power dynamics and ensuring that those who have been historically marginalized have a seat at the table.
Yes.
When it comes to shaping climate policy and action.
Exactly. It's about empowering communities to be active participants in shaping their own futures and ensuring that climate solutions are tailored to their specific needs and priorities.
This all ties back to something we discussed earlier, the importance of meeting communities where they are. It's not about imposing solutions from the top down. It's about listening, understanding, and collaborating to find solutions that work for everyone.
Precisely. And that's why it's so crucial to have diverse voices represented in climate action efforts. We need to hear from scientists, policymakers, community leaders, and everyday citizens. Everyone has valuable insights to offer, and we can learn from each other's experiences.
That's a powerful message of inclusivity and collaboration. It's about recognizing that we're all in this together and that we need everyone's participation to create a truly just and sustainable future.
Absolutely. It's about shifting from a mindset of us versus them to a recognition of our interconnectedness and shared responsibility. We all have a role to play in shaping a better world.
I love that shift in perspective. It's not about blame or guilt. It's about recognizing our shared humanity and working together to create a future where everyone can thrive.
Beautifully said. It's about hope, empowerment, and the belief that we can collectively create a world that is healthier, more sustainable, and more just for all.
Speaking of action and creating a better world, I'm curious to learn more about the specific ways libraries are putting these principles into practice. Can you share some examples of how libraries are making a difference on the ground?
I'd be happy to. There are so many inspiring stories of libraries leading the charge on climate action. Let's delve into some of those examples and see how these institutions are transforming communities and inspiring change.
Let's do it. All right, so we've talked about the big picture, you know, of climate change and public health.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for some real-world examples.
Yeah.
What are some specific initiatives that libraries are spearheading?
Oh, there are so many. It's hard to choose.
I bet.
One that stands out is the Blue Marble Librarians in Massachusetts.
Okay.
It's a network of library staff dedicated to promoting sustainability,
oh,
both within their libraries and out in the community. They're doing everything. Reducing waste, installing solar panels, hosting workshops on climate change.
Wow.
Building community resilience. It's really impressive.
It's inspiring to see libraries taking such a proactive role. It really challenges that stereotype of libraries as just quiet places to check out books.
Right. They're becoming hubs for community engagement and action.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. And it doesn't always have to be about these big flashy projects, does it?
No, not at all.
Sometimes the smaller, more localized initiatives can have a surprisingly big impact.
Absolutely.
Can you give us an example of one of those smaller initiatives?
Sure. One source highlighted the American Public Health Association's Eco Bookworms initiative.
The Go Bookworms.
Yeah. They provide book recommendations and discussion questions for kids to learn about climate change, sustainability, and environmental justice.
That's such a clever approach.
Hmm.
Using children's literature to spark conversations about these important topics.
Yeah.
It gets kids thinking about these issues from a young age and in a way that's engaging and accessible.
Exactly. And it shows how libraries can be creative in how they approach climate education.
Right.
You know, they're not just lecturing people. They're finding innovative ways to weave these topics into existing programs and resources.
Another interesting project mentioned in the research was Understanding Heat in North Austin in Texas. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. This project involved a collaboration between community groups, public health agencies, and government officials to address the issue of urban heat islands in Austin.
For those of us who aren't familiar, can you explain what an urban heat island is?
Sure. Essentially, it's when urban areas experience significantly higher temperatures compared to surrounding rural areas.
Okay.
This is due to factors like pavement buildings and a lack of trees and vegetation.
So basically, all those surfaces absorb and retain heat.
Exactly. Making cities feel like ovens.
Especially during the summer months.
Especially during the summer, yeah.
That sounds pretty uncomfortable. I can see why the residents of Austin would be concerned about that.
Right.
But what role did libraries play in this project?
The libraries served as community hubs.
Okay.
Where residents could come together to learn about urban heat islands, gather data, and contribute to finding solutions. It was a really community-driven effort. People actively involved in mapping heat hotspots and proposing ways to mitigate the problem.
That's a great example of how libraries can empower communities to take ownership of these issues and be part of the solution.
Right.
It's not just experts dictating solutions from on high.
Right.
It's about collaboration and finding solutions that work for everyone.
Exactly. And speaking of collaboration,
yeah,
we can't talk about libraries and climate action without mentioning the National Climate Action Strategy for Libraries.
Okay, the National Climate Action Strategy for Libraries. Tell me more.
This is a nationwide initiative, provides a framework for libraries across the country to engage in climate action, reduce their own environmental footprint, and help their communities become more resilient.
So it's like a roadmap for libraries to become climate leaders in their communities.
Precisely. And it's exciting to see so many libraries embracing this challenge and taking concrete steps to make a difference.
The strategy focuses on three key areas.
Yeah.
Reducing greenhouse gas emissions, preparing for climate-related disasters, and promoting climate justice. Can you break down each of those for us?
Sure. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions involves libraries taking steps to minimize their own environmental impact. This could include things like installing solar panels, using energy-efficient appliances, and reducing waste through composting and recycling programs.
So it's about leading by example.
Yeah.
And showing that even small changes can make a difference.
Absolutely. The next area, preparing for climate-related disasters, involves libraries taking proactive steps to help their communities prepare for and recover from extreme weather events. This could include developing emergency plans, creating community resilience hubs, and providing resources and support to residents before, during, and after a disaster.
Makes sense. Libraries are often seen as safe and trusted spaces in times of crisis.
Right.
They can play a vital role in helping communities cope with the increasing frequency and intensity of climate-related disasters.
Absolutely. And finally, promoting climate justice is about ensuring that climate action efforts are equitable and prioritize the needs of those who are most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. This could involve advocating for policies that address environmental racism, providing resources and support to low-income communities, and working to ensure that everyone has access to clean air, water, and a healthy environment.
So it's about recognizing that climate change doesn't affect everyone equally.
Yeah.
And taking steps to ensure that solutions are fair and just.
Exactly. And libraries are uniquely positioned to promote climate justice.
Right.
Because they are accessible to everyone and serve as trusted sources of information. They can help bridge the gap between climate science and community action.
Yeah.
Ensuring that everyone has a voice and a role to play in creating a more just and sustainable future.
What I find so inspiring about all of these initiatives is the sense of hope and possibility they offer. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale and complexity of the climate crisis.
I know what you mean.
But these examples show that real change is happening at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming together, finding solutions, and creating a better future for themselves and their communities.
I completely agree. It's a reminder that even in the face of this daunting challenge,
yeah,
we have the power to make a difference. And it starts with each of us taking action in our own lives and communities.
Oh, totally.
Whether it's supporting our local libraries, advocating for climate-friendly policies, or making changes in our own homes and lifestyles, every step we take contributes to a more sustainable future.
That's a powerful message to end on. It's not about waiting for someone else to fix it. It's about recognizing our own agency and taking action to create the world we want to live in. A world that's healthier, more sustainable, and more just for all.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into climate change public health and the inspiring work being done by libraries across the country. We hope you found this conversation informative and empowering. Remember, change starts with each of us, so let's get out there and make a difference.
Until next time, keep learning and keep diving deep.